Hello and welcome back to the Phil Elverum discography breakdown. As always, I am Alex, and with me is
Jake.
Hello.
Hello.
So this week we are going to be talking about two kind of weird microphones releases. Live in Japan and Song Islands in opposite order, but yeah.
Yeah, this is our first kind of, like, interlude episode, where these aren't, like, the most recognizable full-length microphones albums, but they're important to talk about nonetheless, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I don't know, as much as these songs aren't as essential as, like, anything from the Glow Part 2 or Mount Eerie or even most of It Was Hot, like, It's still valuable to take a look at them, and there are still some, like, interesting ideas, and you can still kind of glean something from, like, looking at them about his discography in general.
Yeah, and there are, of course, a few places still where it does, like, hit, you know?
There are some absolute gems.
For sure.
I wouldn't say there are, like, any real, like, essentials from Live in Japan, but it's an enjoyable experience overall. Thanksgiving is kind of funny.
Yeah, there is some interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah. But Song Islands does, like, none of the songs are, like, polished or perfect in any way, but there are some really great ones on there, and I think we're gonna start with Song Islands, actually.
Yeah. So the idea behind Song Islands is it's a compilation similar to the other compilation we talked about, except instead of 1996 to 1998, this is sort of like 1999 to 2002, I think, sort of a collection of singles that were released by themselves and kind of rarities and stuff that kind of all got put out of this compilation that were released at some point during when the microphones were active.
Yeah, and you can see Phil's artistic journey as the microphones in these tracks, and also kind of in the sequencing of them.
Yeah,
a little bit.
No, definitely. I mean, because again, it is a compilation, so it doesn't necessarily. It wasn't made to flow well. However, they apparently the track list is in a sort of chronological order, or at least
interesting.
The first half is in chronological order of, like, the singles he released, and then the second half is in chronological order of, like, sort of rarities that he released. So
yeah,
as you get into the album, you can kind of hear the microphone sound develop in a way.
It was really weird for me, like, kind of taking a step back and listening to these, like, old demos and watching all the progress he made from Don't Wake Me Up just sort of unfold again and kind of, you know, also, like, we just did Mount Eerie, and then suddenly I was put back into, like, the demos and Don't Wake Me Up.
No, right, exactly.
Which, and as much as, you know, I've listened to a lot of this music before, it's still been, like, kind of starting all over again doing this series because we're, you know, we are listening to everything in chronological order, although I do keep listening to Clear Moon, even though that's quite a ways away, and also after the Glow Part 2 for the next full week, I just listen to that only.
Yeah, we're going to be prepared as hell for that Clear Moon episode, and I don't know. I think the Glow Part 2, it's like, once you kind of get into a kick of it, you can't just leave it alone after.
Can't just
that.
Put it down.
Yeah. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Also, and then after Mount Eerie, I was just fully obsessed with the Second Universe track 5 for
right.
For that next week. I like, from dusk to dawn, that the choir in that song was just playing in my head.
Yeah, it's really, like, it gets inside your brain.
Yeah.
Anyway...
Song
anyway,
Islands.
Yeah, so one cool thing. Oh, sorry,
no, you first.
One thing I just wanted to mention is I think kind of speaking to the, you know, how you can kind of see the progress of his songwriting and his production, a lot of these songs are sort of, like, a lot of them are just their own demos, and some of them are demos of other songs that would later kind of become real songs, so in a way it's also sort of looking at, like the scaffolding, I guess, of some of the albums that he would go on to release. Like, there's a demo of The Moon is on the album. There's, I think, Where It's Hotter kind of gets like a sort of demo version on there.
Which was not as good.
Yeah. No, that
Really
one.
not as good.
Yeah, I think one thing about this compilation is that it's, it is a compilation. So there's definitely like hit or miss sort of aspect to it. There's songs that you really can kind of skip over, and then there's some also like really excellent songs. So in terms of like listening to it as a full album, like I don't really know. It's like good to do to hear it, but not something that I necessarily go out of my way to do very often.
Yeah. Back to the scaffolding concept. Like, I was noticing that especially with some kind of like songs that feel like they were made during or around the Glow Part 2 era especially, and that was really interesting because a lot of them like they have a lot of the ideas from that album that kind of pop up. But like it's sort of messy and they don't quite mesh as well and they aren't as like
Yeah.
purposeful as what we hear in the album. But and
No, yeah,
they
there's definitely a lot of that.
there are still like kind of a couple like cases like I Lost My Wind I really liked and shit, what was
It Moon Moon?
No, Phil Elverum's Will.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
there it was. I just needed to scroll through my notes for a second. It yeah, that one was actually really beautiful, which I wasn't totally expecting. Like it's
Yeah.
very much a classic Microphone song title. Like of course there is like a 20-year-old Phil Elverum song called Phil Elverum's Will.
And
But
isn't that the one?
it's a little ham-fisted in a way, so my expectations weren't super high.
Is Phil Elverum's Will the one where the I Want Wind to Blow kind of riff is in there? It's like sort of a really early version of that.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
there are like calls to it, and I Lost My Wind as well. Both of those
Yes.
tracks, I think are really like valuable to listen to, and really enjoyable. And knowing the Glow Part 2 well, like you get something out of it. Like they add something to that whole kind of concept and ethos that isn't on the album. Not to say that they really needed to have been on the album or something, but they do add something, and I'm glad I've heard them now.
No, definitely. There's a lot of that. I think I Lost My Wind also has sort of a similar chord progression to I Felt My Size. So that's another way that you can kind of like connect the two. One choice I really liked is there's no like explicit demos from any of his albums on this compilation except for The Moon. There's just an acoustic demo of The Moon on here. So like just the
Yeah.
song itself is incredible. So of course it's going to be good. But I think one of the reasons that I think it works so well is because, I mean, the song on the original version obviously is like his vocals are mixed so far down and they're buried under so many just different layers of like noise and distortion. Whereas the version on here, it's his voice is kind of at the forefront. You can hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
It kind of like brings the emotions more, I guess, to the surface, instead of like burying them.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I personally, I had a little bit of a different reaction. To me, it was like, I don't know, I enjoyed it, and there definitely is like something you get out of this acoustic version that you don't get out of the studio album version. But to me, it just kind of illustrated why the studio album version is so perfect, and like I don't know, I guess I like the to me the cacophony of the original track is so kind of necessary to the impact of the song, and really feeling like you're in it and you're living it, and I don't know.
No, I agree 100%. I think
Yeah.
the production on the original version is kind of what pushes it into greatness. It's just sort of like it's just kind of like looking at it from like a sort of different perspective, which
So,
sounds interesting at least.
yeah, no, it's definitely like an interesting thing to listen to. So quick anecdote. On this album, before the Moon acoustic version comes on, there are like a few kind of Americana tracks, which I'll get to in a minute because I really want to talk about those. But like we, Fee and I was listening to it just on speakers in the house earlier today, and my girlfriend Fiona was there, and we were kind of talking about those Americana tracks, and we were like, yeah, it's kind of nice. It's kind of funny. And then the Moon acoustic version comes on, and I go, uh-oh, and Fee just says, the fun is over.
That is wonderful. Can I guess what the Americana tracks you're referring to are?
Sure.
I think one of them is I'm a Pearl Diver.
Yes, very
Okay,
much
cool.
so.
That reminds me of just like, I don't know, like floating down like a log raft,
Yeah.
like in the 1800s or something. So yeah, no, I get that. And I guess would the other one be I Can't Believe You Actually Died?
Yes.
Nice.
Really strange. Those two, I was really surprised when they came on because Americana is not a style I would associate with Phil Elverum.
Right.
And I was like, this is weird at first, but honestly, I walked away just really wanting to hear an Americana Microphones album.
I know. I think, I mean, a funny thing about I Can't Believe You Actually Died is I think somehow that's, I feel like the most enduring song from this album. Like, before I had really gotten into the Microphones, like, it was the first and only song that I'd heard from the entire compilation.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's got such a like a sing-along quality to it, and it
Oh, yeah.
sounds like on the surface like so wholesome and just a bunch of buddies sitting around a campfire and singing a song or something. It's like really sweet, and then the lyrics are just like, oh, ouchie, no.
The weirdest thing about this song is that you could comfortably transform it into a bluegrass song.
Like if a banjo just showed up halfway, it'd be like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy listening to this because, like, I don't know, obviously context is
Yeah.
really significant, but it's interesting hearing like baby Phil kind of grapple with the big concept of death very inelegantly, like
Yeah.
considering the music he would come to make later on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not to get too much into it, but you know, just the whole kind of ethos of A Crow Looked at Me is sort of kind of in direct contrast to songs like that.
It kind of looms heavy.
It does, yeah. You listen to it and you're like, oh.
It's almost like there's almost part of it where it feels like this feels like in bad taste. But
I know, but it, yeah, exactly.
it's, you know, like he was probably like 21 or 22 or something,
Right.
and you know.
And the song itself, as like in and of itself, is not inherently in bad taste. It kind of just becomes that way, like through the
Yeah.
context. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not I Can't Believe You Actually Died's fault.
It's not. I can't believe you actually died innocent.
But yeah, it's you know, you see that song title and then it's Americana and it's a sing-along and it's kind of fun, but it's also
Yeah.
sad.
Do you know if this song ended up being on that Singer's album that he
I
put
think
out?
it
I
was.
think so
I'm pretty
too.
sure it was. I think that was how I first heard it, actually.
And I don't know if he kind of put it on there retroactively or if he re-recorded it for that other album. 'Cause I think that album was actually like he brought in a big group of people in order to record a sort of sing-along album like how this song is.
Yeah, I Can't Believe You Actually Died is the last song on Singers.
Okay.
I think he probably re-recorded
Yeah. That makes sense.
it. Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. There are some like kind of like classic Microphones rarities on Singers that I sort of forgot about. Like Where Is My Tarp?
Yeah.
Your Big Black Cloud Will Come. I
Uh-oh,
Can't
it's
Believe You
morning time
Actually
again.
Died. Yeah.
It's always a fun time. It's
Yeah.
kind of similar, in a lot of ways to I Can't Believe You Actually Died, actually.
Yeah. It's interesting to see he was still trying to make these songs work in some way. I guess
Yeah.
that was only 2005 though.
That's true, only a few years later, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it is kind of it's easy to sort of compartmentalize the microphones in Mount Eerie as these two separate things when in reality it's like a microphones project was released in like 2003 and then a Mount Eerie project was released in like 2004. It kind of really does bleed into itself
Yeah.
right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's I guess just some other shout outs for Song Islands here. The Glow Part 4, interesting.
Basically just the glow.
Basically just the Glow Part 1, just like more stripped down.
Also made me realize how much that song sounds like on Avery Island Neutral Milk
Oh
Hotel.
wow, that's a good comparison. Yeah, I never thought about that. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of like the, yeah, I agree. At some point, I have to bring up Antlers, which is probably my favorite song on Song Islands, and I don't know. It's like one of my favorite microphone songs. I don't know where I would like put it in a ranking, but it's just like a really, really beautiful little acoustic track. There's nothing like
Yeah.
crazy about the production or anything like that, but it's like a sweet little lullaby that I really love.
Yeah.
Like I love the melody and I love the piano part at the end, and
Yeah, it's
also
really pretty.
it is really pretty, and it's the song that the band, the Antlers, is named after.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I
So
mean, that influence makes perfect sense,
it does, yeah.
but Lanterns
Yes.
is a it's a clear Mount Eerie leftover, and it's very good.
You know, what's funny is a big, like a substantial portion of Lanterns is actually kind of remolded into the first song off of No Flashlight. A
Really?
lot of the lyrics are the same, and like the kind of like drum loop thing it has going on is the same. And I never noticed it before, despite having heard both tracks. But when I was listening to it, it
Ah.
was like, oh, this is like very clearly like influenced or like similar to I Hold Nothing from No Flashlight. So it'll be kind of interesting to
Yeah.
revisit that sort of sound.
Yeah, we gotta keep that in mind in a couple weeks.
Yeah, right.
Wake Me Up is really gorgeous. I loved the like kind of, well, I don't know. He incorporated an orchestra, and
Yes.
it's not something, again, not something I would really think about fitting comfortably into the microphone sound, but works
Yeah,
really
it's
beautifully, and I'd love to hear him play with more of that in the future, kind of in the way he did it here.
I know, yeah, and that's kind of back to the Americana thing, those other songs. I think I Can't Believe You Actually Died has strings on it, and maybe even the Pearl Diver song has some strings on it, which I think is a nice touch. I think it kind of complements his style well.
Yeah, I. This is kind of a separate point, but one thing I noticed listening to this is, and I haven't ever seen Phil talk about them as an influence, but I kept feeling like I was seeing some level of Radiohead influence, especially on like the experiments in Deeply Buried and a couple other
Okay.
tracks.
It wouldn't surprise me necessarily.
I also felt like I kind of felt a teeny tiny bit of that listening to Mount Eerie last week.
Okay.
Just like it's not heavy, and maybe it wasn't even so much that Phil was personally into Radiohead or influenced by them, but Radiohead was super ubiquitous at the time,
Yeah, right.
and we're just in the cultural consciousness, so that might be part of it.
I know that he has mentioned before his influence from the sort of 90s Seattle grunge scene. So I guess it would make sense. You can sort of draw a tenuous connection there. Like,
Yeah.
I could definitely see it.
Also, he was. We know that Phil is very much into Bjork, and
Yes.
Close relation there.
That reminds me, I actually wrote this down. So, I have Song Islands on record, and there's sort of like his other ones that we read in other episodes. He has a little brief description of the album.
Yeah.
One of the things he mentions is the artwork is from a day where him and Kyle Fields did a frenzy of freestyle abstract paintings. And anyway, the
like
little
a
cloud.
Blast.
Yeah, it really does. If you can just kind of see the one on the cover, but if you have the physical version, like both of the inside flaps have like a different picture and like sort of a similar style, and then the back does as well. But the little floating head on the cover is apparently the same floating head from the line, "Come on in, little floating head, the door," from Voice in Headphones. Your Bjork comment just kind of like reminded me of that, so I figured I should mention it.
That's a funny connection.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Any other Song Islands tidbits that you took note of?
There are a couple, but not like super important ones.
Yeah. Pretty much same. I guess I had to mention one more thing. I thought it was interesting on. Hold on, let me figure out which song this is. Deeply Buried, which we were mentioning just a couple minutes ago.
Yes.
He mentions a pregnancy scare on that song, which he also mentions on Now Only.
This is true.
Is like, you know, the album he just put out a couple years ago. So it's kind of interesting to hear it from both a very removed perspective from like 15 years later.
I didn't even make that connection somehow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I don't know the exact line. I didn't write it down, but I'm just like, oh, it's a little connection there.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on to Live in Japan?
Let's do it, yeah.
All right, jumping forward a little bit. So Live in Japan came, like, smack dab in the middle of Phil's Norway seclusion. For those who don't know, after the release of the album Mount Eerie, actually I suppose Mount Eerie was released while he was in Norway. After the recording of the album Mount Eerie, Phil fled to Norway.
That's a good, yeah.
Just kind of sick of his life, I guess. And he went on a tour called something like I Am Going Away and I Am Never Ever Coming Back Tour.
Okay. Did not know that.
And he kept a journal about it, released that journal eventually as part of the Dawn album package, and I've read it. And a lot of the songs from Live in Japan came from that time because this tour actually happened when he was out there. He left Norway to go on this tour, and so it kind of it cuts the book in half, and the songs on this album, like we see them in their earliest state. They'd pop up again and again throughout his career, and like 9 new songs of Mount Eerie, 11 old songs of Mount Eerie, Singers, and then Dawn, and then again on Lost Wisdom, which are all going to be one big episode.
Yep.
what's kind of interesting about this album, and we aren't going to get too deep into these songs because, again, we're going to do a whole episode on their many different permutations, but we see them in kind of their earliest state, where it really seems like Phil was trying to turn them into post-Mount Eerie microphone songs.
Yeah.
Or at least, like hearing them with this band and kind of with the context of Mount Eerie, like, you see the ways in which they were just, like, a continuation of those ideas and how he was actually literally trying to fully flesh them out in that way, almost as if, like, you know, another album in the in the long line that started with It Was Hot. And you know, he would do that. Dawn is that album, but it's all acoustic, it's all stripped back, and I don't know. He was just very much in a creative transition here, and I think on this album you can kind of see the jump from microphones to Mount Eerie. And even on the cover art, the microphones is in quotations. And I just thought that was kind of interesting. I think he would kind of try to turn these songs into sort of very much post Mount Eerie songs, but just quickly find that, like, that creative avenue kind of ineffective and dissatisfying.
Yeah. I think Phil has mentioned before that Mount Eerie as an album, he never really thought of it as completed, which, you know, was probably why he went on to make Mount Eerie Parts 6 and 7, like, later down the road. So it is interesting to see that he maybe at some point had the idea of these songs being more of kind of full band, like, fully produced tracks in the same vein as, like, the Mount Eerie stuff.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was interesting listening to this live album is that, because this is his first live album, so up until this point, he was kind of like studio wizard Phil Elverum. So it's interesting hearing his, you know, his first live album where his studio magic isn't really able to be conveyed, and he kind of has to rely entirely on just like the songwriting and singing and performing and everything, which it would go on to characterize kind of how he operates as Mount Eerie. So it's like, although this is the microphones, it does still very much, you know, and he's using Mount Eerie songs. It feels kind of like a prototype Mount Eerie project to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's definitely songs in here that are kind of whatever and that didn't make it onto the actual full length project, but there are also like some hits on here too.
Yeah. It is really funny and telling that he put the microphones in quotes in that way.
It's like the microphones is kind of starting to like dissolve into Mount Eerie or something. Yeah.
It would be like the last time that he, I mean, to my awareness, I think it was the last time that he'd collaborate with like Calvin Johnson and Kyle Field, who were his backing band, along with, I think a Japanese band that he kind of picked up. He called them a pickup band somewhere. I don't remember where.
And interestingly is like, so this came out specifically, hold on, let me get the exact. Yeah. So this was in February of 2004, and then he would release Live in Copenhagen in April of the same year under the name Mount Eerie. So this is really? Kind of literally, like the last time that
I didn't know they were so close together.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I have the exact dates, right? According to rateyourmusic.com, like, you know.
I was thinking of a later live album he put out. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Bloomington? Is that it? Live in Bloomington? I don't know.
Yeah, Live in Bloomington is one. I don't know when that was.
Yeah, I thought that was the next one. I think part of that's because I don't think Live in Copenhagen is actually, like, on streaming services, and he doesn't sell it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that album, I mean, I don't even think I've heard of it, but just looking at the track list right now, like, half the songs are titled in, I'm assuming, Norwegian. Some of them are in Japanese. There's, like, probably 30 songs on here. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, isn't it? You know what? I think it's, like, a triple LP.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Someone posted on the Phil Elverum subreddit. I can never remember if it's like Mount Eerie or microphones or Phil specifically, whatever. But that they were selling their like kind of Phil rarities, and I checked it out and that live album was one of them.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't get it or anything.
I'd love to get a hold of it at some point.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely intriguing. Add that to the pile of intriguing Phil releases.
Right.
I really want the Moon single, which has it's got some kind of like pull out story.
Okay.
Or pamphlet with it. I don't know. I've always been really curious about that. And you know, on top of that, just The Moon is one of my favorite songs ever, and it'd be awesome to have a physical copy of the 7-inch.
Also, the cover of the 7-inch is amazing. I love the cover of the single.
Super expensive, though.
I bet, yeah.
Hard to find. Anyway, we should probably keep talking about that album.
Yes.
I want to talk
So,
about the Blow Part 2 for a
yes.
second. It's kind of goes to a lot of places, and I don't think it's totally like a highlight, but
Yeah.
it does have this very loving tribute to Kayla Marisich,
It does, yeah.
who according to the Headwaters pamphlet moved away during the Mount Erie sessions.
Okay.
That was like a little sweet and nice and sad also.
Yeah, I agree. I think she, I mean, just real quick, she back to Song Islands. I think that was also like some of her kind of like last material that she ended up being like a huge part of, I guess.
And for the record, her band, Kayla Marisich's band, is named The Blow.
Yeah, interesting. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just, shows the closeness they had, I guess.
And then the Blow Part 2, I think I mentioned this on the It Was Hot episode, but it is technically a sequel to the first something on It Was Hot, We Stayed in the Water.
Yeah.
If you listen to both, they kind of have the part of the verse is like the same. Also like him blowing into the microphone to make it sound like wind. It's like such a him thing to do.
Yeah. I didn't take a lot of notes on this album, but
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, a
the
lot of it
next
is
one I
dog.
have, the biggest one is The Moon Won't Take You Out to Wine and Dine.
Wait, what is that one from?
That's from Thanksgiving. He
I
sings The
missed
Moon
that.
Won't Take You Out to Wine and Dine. This
It really will not.
is very ancient wisdom from our father.
This may or may not be related, but I was doing some Google deep dives, and there's apparently a musical artist named Thanksgiving from Oregon that used to drum with Phil like on the
Yeah.
road during this time. I was wondering if maybe those two things are related. Maybe not, I don't know.
I remember on a deep dive. No, I think Phil was involved in that band briefly.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe that is a Thanksgiving song. We'll dig into this more
Yeah.
and get back to you on it, folks.
And then, it is hard, because we are trying to sort of avoid talking about the like narrative of Don,
Yeah.
which like half these songs I think kind of show up on Don again.
It's kind of hard to it was hard to decide if we should talk about this album on this episode or on the episode where we do, nine new songs, 11 old songs, singers, Dawn and Lost Wisdom. But I think just ultimately the most interesting piece of information on here for me is that, he was kind of trying to turn these songs into Mount Erie songs, as in the
Right.
album. And chronologically it belongs here. It's a Microphones release. It came out in 2003 or whatever. Or 2004, sorry.
Well, right. And then on top of that, it's just like, I think that episode's sort of at capacity at this point.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure we have a guest for that
We
episode.
do, which I think will be probably good. Probably good
Yeah,
to
probably necessary, but
that's
also
completely
just
necessary.
like adding any more would be totally overloading.
Yeah,
Whoever
absolutely.
is Dill coming on for that one?
It is Dill, I believe.
Okay. All right.
That'll be good. Yeah, I think either our next episode or the episode after will feature our first guest.
Episode after we were gonna
All
talk
right.
about the various the
Oh
Glow Part
yes.
2 B-sides out
Kind of
there.
the tie the knot on the microphones
Yeah.
episode. Well, I guess just to as far as things on here that aren't directly tied into Don, I feel like we should mention Universe Conclusion,
Yeah.
because I guess this is supposed to be the conclusion to Universe 5 on Mount Eerie, even though there are also parts 6 and 7. So I guess if you're going to sequence them, this would come in between parts 5 and 6. Really kind of unclear on the chronology of this
Well,
of these tracks.
he did choose to ultimately scrap this song,
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think he'd cut it out, but it is interesting. He did talk about Universe Conclusion in the Headwaters booklet.
Yes.
I remember he said that, and it kind of went over my head. He was really interested in the idea of like a singer that won't stop or start until the room is empty or something like that.
Yeah, I won't
And
start singing until this place is empty.
yeah, but he decided, I guess him and his collaborators decided that the repeated choir on Universe 5 or Universe 2 or whatever you want to call it, 5 Universe, kind of got that message across, which I don't understand, but I think that song makes sense as the
It
closer.
does. It does. It is interesting that he did end up making that decision and then kind of messed around with this version of it after that had already been released. Or maybe it
Yeah.
wasn't, but.
I think it was just like a deal where, he really liked the song and wanted to play it live. I mean, in general, like, this live album doesn't really have any album tracks on it. Like,
Yeah, not
obviously it
really.
has songs that would go on to be on Dawn, but at the time they were not album tracks.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. None of these were like previously released at the time, I guess, except for My Favorite Things from The Sound of Music.
Or Silent
Or
Night.
yeah, or Silent Night,
Or
an original
whatever
Phil Ellwood song.
Neil Young song is being covered on After N. Young.
Yeah, apparently it's called Mr. Disappointment.
Okay.
It's the name of the Neil Young song.
I'm not sure if I've heard that one. I do really like Neil Young, but I don't know if I've heard that song.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it either. I did end up listening to it, and he doesn't cover the whole song. He covers like the very end of the song, but still, it is like a Neil Young song.
Yeah. I don't know. I always like I've listened to Live in Japan a handful of times before this, and I really always thought that it was a just a Phil song, like it fits so snugly
I mean, yeah, before
with
I knew it was a
everything
Neil Young
else.
song, I thought that it was a Mount Eerie song that I'd heard before that like was on another Mount Eerie album. And I was like, oh, which one is this? And I looked it up and I was like, oh, never mind, it's a Neil Young song.
That's really funny. Maybe
Yeah.
he like interpolated it later on somehow.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. All right. Well, any final thoughts?
Yeah, not really. There is some, I'll say this without spoiling our Dawn episode. I think the songs he chose on this album, or I'm trying to think how to put this. Like, the songs that would end up being on Dawn that are also present here, I think are sort of very thematically tied together.
Yes.
But that, again, is a conversation for later.
Yeah. We will dig into these songs, like, lyrically, obviously sonically, because we'll be looking at like, five different versions of each of them.
Yeah, they see it from every angle.
Yeah, much, more later on. It's interesting because generally, I mean, I love Dawn. Like that's I love that album, don't get me wrong. But generally you would not see it as like a cornerstone Phil release or like,
Right.
like a really significant one, but he released all those songs multiple times.
I know, it's interesting. And even the fact that he kind of played around with them sonically so much, and then the final product ended up being kind of as stripped down as possible,
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, just sort of an interesting decision that for a lot of people probably wouldn't pay off as well as it does on Dawn.
Yeah, I think it's they kind of ended in the place they needed to be, and it also becomes like a perfect companion album to Lost Wisdom because,
Yep.
we're gonna talk about
We'll get there.
it. We will get there.
All right, well,
Yeah.
I think that's good.
I think we're good on this chapter. We're almost done with the microphones.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
It also feels crazier than it probably should because I feel like most of Phil's body of work is under the name Mount Erie.
Yeah, and it's really easy. We talked about this in just in text chat, but it's really easy to see them as two halves instead of like one quarter and then three quarters.
Yeah, exactly. Because there is, I feel like, kind of more weight put behind the microphones. Typically, when people talk about it, I feel like the
Yeah.
microphones are more,
It's just 'cause, the significance of the Glowpart 2 and real fans know Mount Erie is the shit, which is obviously something I learned this month.
Real heads know.
All right.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yes, goodbye.